Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast from Faith Point Church, Auckland, New Zealand. We hope you will encounter God afresh in this week's teaching segment. If you enjoy this podcast and would like to hear more, then you can visit us at www.faithpoint.org.nz. And now for today's message.
Well, as you can see, today's topic is a very interesting topic. It's on anger. And I've called it, Why Am I Angry? Because often we get angry, and very angry sometimes, but we never ask ourselves, why am I angry? What we normally do is just kind of simmer in it or kind of try to press it down and try to pray it away. But there's a better way to dealing with anger. And we'll talk more about that soon. So the Bible says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. And in Harriet Lerner's book, The Dance of Anger, she says, anger is a signal and one worth listening to. Anger is a signal and one worth listening to. Yes. Do you agree with that? Who here never gets angry? Who here has never sinned while being angry? None of us can say no, can we? Because anger is a common human emotion, and we do have anger, and we need to listen to what it's saying before it hurts others and ourselves. Firstly, let's look at anger differently. So how does anger help us? Anger is helpful? Yes, because a certain amount of anger is needed for our survival. Anger is a natural emotion, a strong emotion, a symptom. It's a symptom. It's not a cause. A symptom that can help us or hinder us, depending on what we do with it and how we express it. So what can helpful anger be saying to us? Perhaps that our needs are not being adequately or appropriately met or are met by an unhealthy source. Now, we all have these four legitimate needs that is deeply wired into each of us. Here they are here. Our four emotional needs. We have a need for safety and belonging, a sense of safety and security emotionally, physically, financially. We have a need to feel significant, knowing that we are loved, accepted, valued, and being secure in who we are, being free of shame. We have a need to have a sense of progress in life, making progress in life in all areas of life, being purposeful, and a need for innocence, having a clean and peaceful conscience, being free of guilt. Now, these needs are met through a relationship with God, through others, and also, don't forget, from myself, by taking responsibility for how I feel and think and act. We should not delegate to God what he's already delegated to us. So when these emotional needs aren't being met, helpful anger can alert us to pay attention to something that doesn't feel quite right, acknowledge that a sense of injustice has occurred, or even start to know that our values or convictions are being compromised. And also, we can harness our anger and disappointment to do something constructive. Right, but then some of us, we get really stuck in our anger, don't we? Does this sound familiar? So we need to face our anger. But in order to face our anger, let's first remove three common myths that are barriers to addressing our anger. So these myths keep us enslaved to a never-ending cycle or habit of being in a bad mood, being short or bad-tempered, or even being stuck in bouts of rage, which is very destructive to us and others in every way, physically, emotionally, financially, spiritually. Let's look at the first myth. Anger starts with anger, does it? Not really. The reality is that anger normally starts with disappointment. Anger in most cases is disappointment energy, not always. And it's helpful to see anger on a continuum. It begins with disappointment and can grow into rage if we let it. So here's the continuum. So the car in this image illustrates what drives us, starting with disappointment. The signs represent our feelings and reactions at each stage. The steep road downwards to rage is the underlying fear that fuels anger. When we let ourselves get to the angry stage, we can either turn around and harness anger to be assertive or keep being driven by anger and let ourselves be overtaken by rage, where we fall off the cliff into condemnation and can result in verbal violence, physical violence, even murder. Let's explain this from the beginning, starting from disappointment. So in childhood, the reaction to disappointment might be crying, screaming, or sulking because young children have not yet developed the processing or communication skills, you know, to say what they need, what they want, how they're feeling. So left unresolved, it can quickly turn into irritation from the feelings of powerlessness because some of us never learned as children how to verbalize our feelings, negotiate, or become assertive. So if those feelings of powerlessness are not acknowledged and dealt with, then the irritation simmers and those feelings grow into frustration at being perhaps overlooked, rejected, or abandoned, for example. Those are unbearable feelings. And when we feel them, we panic with fear, and fear fuels the panic. So unrelenting frustration or panic leads to anger. At this point, and even before this, you can turn the anger around by being assertive. You can stop and calm down and examine and resolve why you are angry and find a way to assertively express yourself, taking the energy, that negative, strong energy out of anger. Otherwise, you could end up at this very dangerous point where anger controls and overtakes you and drives you into rage. Beware of demonic energy at this point. Verbal and physical violence explodes, and even murder could eventuate. And that's when condemnation sinks in deeper. It is a long road back when this happens. So I would say at every point from the beginning, ask yourself, why am I disappointed? Am I feeling disappointed? Why? Stop and ask and resolve that disappointment. Let it go. Can you see if you hold on to each stage, it actually drives you right down. You could drive right down the road and off the cliff. Here's another myth. If I shut down or ignore these angry feelings, it will go away. Now, why do we believe this? Well, some reasons are because of denial. We're all very good at denial. We don't acknowledge we have an anger issue in our life. We're too busy trying to survive by covering over the angry feelings and medicating them. Homemade fixes. We try to fix ourselves by using Band-Aid means. However, some deeper issues do need professional counseling or advice. A lot of times, underneath the anger, are deeper issues that we're not aware of, that we've habituated it so much. What about deliverance? We expect to be delivered, set free of demonic powers instantly. And that does and can happen. But sometimes it's a journey, a process where we need to walk it out. What about behaviorism? We try to change our behavior with another behavior, a symptom with a symptom. Instead of changing the assumptions or core beliefs that produce the symptoms. What about family mottos? We have family mottos we grew up with and our cultural beliefs that we are very loyal to. We never question. For example, don't talk about your feelings. Just do it. Or stop crying. It's useless. Or strong people don't cry. Do these sound familiar? Which one of these are your favorite ways of dealing with anger in your childhood and currently in your family? The problem is when we ignore or shut down our anger, it just simmers and it just goes deeper, which results in us clamming up or blowing up. That doesn't work, does it? It just results in a lot of hurt and brokenness, and then no one wants to be around us. And we don't want that, do we? Myth three, these other feelings are angry feelings, so I must be angry. However, not all our feelings are anger feelings. For example, what about disappointment, irritation, and frustration? That was on the anger continuum before. These are normal emotions designed to help us find a solution. Lean into each one of these, and you'll see the opportunity in front of you to change, to resolve an issue, to be assertive, to negotiate. How about stress? Sometimes we get very stressed out, and stress, it is a symptom with a root of fear. Maybe we're stressing about deep underneath, it's a fear of lack, a fear of failure, a fear of loss. We're fearing rejection. What about panic? Its root is also from fear, and it usually starts with anxiety and worry. And grief is another one. The anger stage in grief. Most people get stuck here, not knowing how and when to grieve. It can turn into rage and drive people into addictions to escape or to avoid grieving because it is so, so painful. So become aware of these myths and missing life skills, and you're one empowering question away from tracing, facing, and replacing with truth and with love. Yeah, so that's good, isn't it? What are the truths to these myths? Process your angry emotions when you've calmed down and can think clearly. Now, it's very important to know that anger is a symptom. It's not a cause. So treat it accordingly. It is a prompt for us to dig deeper. So how do you dig deeper? Ask Holy Spirit to help you. Ask yourself some empowering questions to trace back, face the real issue, and replace it with truth. So we need to stop. Do we know how to self-soothe, how to manage our feelings, how to calm down? Stop, calm down, pull away from the situation, and process. Now, I love empowering questions. And these questions, instead of statements, will help us to think and to dig deeper. These empowering questions to trace, face, and replace are very helpful. And, you know, you can talk it out, but writing it out is best because then you can read back and trace back some thoughts. So you could start with, when you're in a calm place and you can think clearly and you're not interrupted, what is this feeling that I'm feeling? So put words to your feelings. Put words to your feelings. Some people don't have a very big feeling vocabulary, so use a emotions wheel. You can Google that. You know, it has like 500 feelings on it, and you can go and pick your category of feeling and pick a feeling that you feel is the right one for how you're feeling, because unless you know what it is that you're feeling, you can't process. It just stops there. And so from the feeling, you're saying to yourself, what am I saying to myself? Well, what am I thinking when I actually feel this way? What are those words that you're saying, repeating to yourself in your mind all the time when you feel this way? And then what's the belief? Now, this is the root belief, the root assumption, the root cause. What's the belief underneath that's causing the self-talk or thinking? What is that belief? It could be that nobody loves me, nobody cares. Now, what does God say about this? And so that's very important for the truth of his word, to shed light on this, to oppose this. And what about how he sees it, how he sees you? And then what other truths can I apply here specifically to this belief, to these feelings? So do you see, you're drilling right down into your core beliefs and you're replacing with truth. We can't just start with a feeling and try to replace it with truth. You need to drill down to the core assumption or the core belief. And sometimes that's subconscious. You know, sometimes we're not aware of it. That's why we need Holy Spirit to show us. And we need to be in a quiet and calm place and a clear mind to be able to see, to be able to see what it is. Yeah. So You know, the choice is before us to choose. Will I clam up or blow up or grow up? Clam up or blow up or grow up? Because if we're honest, we adopt a lot of childhood habits. You know, I know when I first got married and in my first early years of marriage, I was very, very childish with my emotions. I was emotionally stunted in my growth, I would say. I had no, was not vulnerable. I didn't know how to be assertive. I didn't know how to negotiate. I didn't know how to express what I needed and what I wanted or even how I felt, because growing up in my home, we never talked about our feelings. We just did things, we achieved things, and it was all very performance-based. So, and I also didn't get any, well, we did get some pre-marriage counseling very briefly, but we didn't have any mentors along the way, and we didn't see any professionals along the way either. So we kind of just stumbled and fumbled in the dark. And I don't recommend any, whether you're married or single, to stumble along and, you know, try to figure it out for yourself. And there's so many things on the internet now. There are so many teachings on YouTube, and you can Google things. And so there's really no excuse into, you know, finding all this knowledge and upskilling yourself even. And there are lots of free courses too. Yeah. So that's my story. And I was clamming up, I was blowing up, and I wasn't growing up. And so God wants us to grow up emotionally. And that's what it means to resolve our anger issues. Remember, anger is a symptom. It's not a cause. And we've mistakenly, as Christians, treated it as a cause. Like we try to pray it away, we try to fast it away. But we have to look, what's underneath the anger? What beliefs am I really believing in? I've believed in it all my life. And I now need to dig it up and question it and replace it with truth. And also in our lives on a daily basis, in reality, we all face disappointment. We all get irritated. We all get frustrated at times. You know, it's common to all of us. We can't avoid that, can we? They're normal human emotions. So those things can happen, and sometimes we don't have a choice in the matter because we get triggered in that. But getting angry, that's always voluntary. That's always a choice. And so I had to learn the hard way. I would fly into rages until I found out that, wow, this is not working for me or for anyone. And it was so bad, and I felt so guilty and condemned. And I realized, wait, I have a choice in this matter. I don't need to get to this place of anger. I need to resolve it. So one of the questions we can ask is my life better or worse for the indulgence of anger? Because to be honest, it is an indulgence. That's why we sin, right? And we need to pray, Lord, help me to grow up before I grow old. Help me to grow up before I grow old. So may you be open and teachable and willing to change as you partner with the Holy Spirit in this journey of healing and truth finding towards peace and zero anger. And today, by the grace of God, I can say that I have zero anger. I can be calm, I can stop, and I can let go. I believe, you know, one of the best keys for resolving anger is to learn to have a soft heart, you know, learn to be flexible-minded. Because remember about disappointments, when we have set high standards and we never let them go, we don't let them drop because we need them to protect us, to feel safe, probably. Be flexible in it when you need to be, when you have to be. Be open-minded. Just keep a soft heart. Be willing to let go. Let go of negative emotions. Let go of grudges. Let go of anger. And learn to let go fast. And you'll really cultivate the right heart attitude and the right posture to live a life towards zero anger. So now we get to the discussion part. Here are three questions for you to ponder on, or maybe in the discussion time or later on your own. Do you see anger as a symptom or a cause? Why or why not? Share on a situation where you resolved your anger. And lastly, what myths have I believed in that blocked me from resolving anger? So have fun discussing, and thank you for listening.